You know, I really just want to give a shout out to our production team, those that are here tonight and those that aren't here tonight. What a faithful crew we have back there. They really are. Very faithful crew. So thank you, guys. And we'll pray here as we get in. Father, we just look to you tonight to lead and direct us. Look to you as the teacher within us. The Holy Spirit himself dwells within us. And the Holy Spirit teaches us and tutors us and takes us into the truth we need and leads us and guides us into the way that we should go. And you somehow, Father, you have a way of getting over to us in our place of understanding where we are, each of us individually tailoring the word for us. And I ask you to do that tonight, that we would leave here with greater insight and understanding. We'd leave here more equipped for your purpose and plan for us. We'd be strengthened, even tonight as we sit here, that we'd be strengthened and infused with power from on high. And there would be within us, Father, an adjustment, a change. There would be a confirmation within us that we'd be more conformed to the image of Jesus, that we'd look more like him and talk more like him and act more like him, and we'd live more like Jesus as a result of just these few moments we've gathered here. And you're here with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Did you have a moment and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2? Because tonight that's where we're going to be, is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm just begin reading there in verse 1. It says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you," this is Paul writing, of course, he said, "I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." That's a pretty big statement for Paul. "Did I determine not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified? I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling." Reminds me of some of my CADA students when we start out the session. They're like that. But they don't end up that way. That's just how they start. "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." And that, again, this is Paul writing. If anybody could have brought forth persuasive words, if anybody had access to human wisdom, if anyone had been educated and raised and you know, been in an environment where he could bring forth human wisdom and persuade with words, it was him. But he was determined that that wouldn't be the basis of his communication and the basis of his ministry, because he wanted what verse 5 says, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, I just want to stop right there for a moment. In the power of God, that our faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And I don't know about you, but it seems to me that we've been awfully satisfied with our faith being in the wisdom of men. And we've just been very tolerant of that. And the church as a whole seems to be filled with the wisdom of men. We have cute sayings. We have, you know, little proverbs and maxims and, you know, things. And no offense to Nate, but alliterations and rhymes. I mean, it's just like all these sayings and quotes. And, I mean, you know, with social media, has just made it all the more available that it's just constantly just, you're being barraged with all this, all these words, and many of them nothing more than just the wisdom of man. And you can, in fact, take scripture and just turn it into the wisdom of man if you deny the power of God. You can take the word of God and use it, and it be of no effect if you deny the power of God. The Bible says that. So I see that. I see people take things from the Bible, but there's no power in it. But he said that your faith would not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I tell you, I feel we've been too tolerant of not, you know, too tolerant of having just wisdom, supposedly wisdom of men, but not having real power. Real power. And it's the plan of God that his people be people of power. That is one thing you have to, y'all, come on, you have got, You got to recognize that one thing we see in people in the scripture is they were people of power, people who knew God. They were people of power. They may not have been, you know, the most eloquent people. They certainly had great faults. They did all kinds of crazy things at different times. But the one thing we have to say is these people had power, and supernatural things happened. But we've just been so, you know, like lulled into thinking it's enough just to have a, you know, a good word or something that just sort of encourages, or something that's, you know, just as long as it rhymes, no offense, Nate, as long as it rhymes, you know, then, oh yeah, that was great. I loved it. You know, almost just like listening to a song and I like the beat, you know, and we can dance to it. And so it's good, you know, it doesn't matter. And so, a little reference there for you, Claire, American Bandstand. But anyway, the idea is that we should not tolerate just the words, just words for the sake of words, just wisdom of men. But we shouldn't stop and we shouldn't be satisfied until we have the power of God. But I just think that you know, most of us, God's people in general on the earth, We aren't even expecting any power. And by that, I don't just mean in a church service. I'm just talking about in our lives. You realize that the people of God in the scripture, it wasn't in church that they had power. How many of the miracles in the Bible happened in church? Very few. They had power in their lives. They had power individually. They had power as they went by the way, as they were in their home, as they came across sick people, as they went about. Peter, he had power when he was out fishing in his business. There's at least two times he had this supernatural manifestation of God's power as he fished. So there's this power. And y'all, we've been satisfied without it. But Paul said, look, I could give you great words. I could give you eloquence. I could give you rhymes and alliteration. And I could give you cute sayings. And I could quote all the men of the day. And I could, you know, I could just make it really good and sound awesome. But if there's no power, there's nothing for your faith to be in. There's not going to be any strength. There's not going to be any lasting faith. Our faith would be in the power of God. No wonder people are losing their faith. No longer we have a generation that's coming along that isn't interested in the things of God, because they don't care about words. I mean, the rappers have better words than we do. They can make, you know, you think what the world offers as far as words. There's just words everywhere just coming at you all the time. If it's just words, you know, the whole New Age movement and you know, self-talk and all that, you know, Oprah has great words. Isn't that right? I mean, there's great words. It's, you know, think you're, you know, all the things that people do to build themselves up. But if there is no power, what good is it? So just a little admonition there for us all, that our faith should not be in the wisdom of men. Don't be satisfied with just words, just what seems like wisdom in man, but in the power of God. We really need to up our expectancy concerning God's power in our lives. I don't know about you, but I can't read about the people in the Bible without being frustrated, because they had power. And many of the people that had power did not have what you and me have. They were not filled with the Holy Spirit. Many of them, anybody that came before, you know, in the Old Testament, Elijah, who called the fire down, he wasn't even born again. And what do we have? Jesus said, look, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit so you'll have power. I'm entrusting my power to you in my name. All right, that is nothing to do with my message, but that I'm just getting going on it. Okay, now we're to verse 6. However, so he said all of that. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age. Now I'm going to tell you, every age has its own wisdom. And probably there's never been an age that had its own wisdom as much as our age. Certainly, it's never been communicated and flooded, you know, into our lives as much as the wisdom of this age. And this age is filled with its own wisdom. But he goes on to say, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. And it's hard for us to imagine, but everything that we know in this world is coming to nothing. Every great might, every power, every dominion in this world, every famous person whose fame is of this world, every organization, the how much money does Apple have in the bank, Matt? Hundreds of billions of dollars. You know, you think about how much they've influenced our culture, everything. It's coming to nothing. But, you know, even when I say that, we're all sitting here going, yeah, right. No, seriously, guys, it's coming to nothing. Everything that we know of this world is coming to nothing. But yet, how much do we devote ourselves to this world? Every fashion, every fad, it's all coming to nothing. It means nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now here, this is interesting, because we have the wisdom of man, and like I said, never before has it been voiced abroad like it is now. There's never been so many channels to get the wisdom of this world to us. But Paul said there's something else out there. There's something else that exists. The wisdom of God. But the wisdom of God is in a mystery. The wisdom of God is not channeled into you, you know, on every cable station. And the wisdom of God isn't coming at you in every direction. It's a, you know, in the Old Testament, the prophet described God as him speaking as the still small voice. Well, if he was a still small voice in that day, where would we find him in this day? How many voices were there in that day compared to how many voices there are today? We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom. God's wisdom is hidden. It's important for you to know. Maybe you know this. Maybe that's why you're here tonight. Maybe you figured out in your life that if I want something from God, I'm going to have to look for it. And I'm going to have to do a little searching, and I'm going to have to reach and stretch for it. Because it's not just coming at me from every direction all day long. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, Isaiah wrote something similar to this in Isaiah 64. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Y'all heard that scripture before? Eye hasn't seen. And you know what? Even with everything eyes have seen today, yet eye has not seen. Even with all there is to hear today, ears still haven't heard. Nor have entered into the heart of man, even with all the things that have entered into men's hearts, unless they've gotten the wisdom from God, the hidden things of God, they still don't know the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Now things are getting interesting, because he's telling us there's human wisdom, and people, even the people of God, have been very satisfied with it. But he's telling us, look, I've discovered something else. There's a worse wisdom from on high. There's something that God has hidden and stored up for his people. But it's a mystery to the world. The world's not telling you about it. It's something as God's people that is stored up for you, and it's for your glory. But the idea of it hasn't, you don't know it yet. It hasn't come into your eyes. It hasn't come into your ears. It's not common. It's not well known. It's something that's hidden. But yet, it's something God has for us. And then verse 10 tells us our pathway into what God has for us. And our pathway is the Holy Spirit. The revelation that comes by the Holy Spirit. For he has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of God except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. I love verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, which is something kind of, you know, should be obvious, but sometimes you have to remind yourself because of what you see in Christianity and in Christian people. Oh, okay, yeah, that's right. We don't have the spirit of the world, but we surely at many times seem to live that way. But we have the Spirit who is from God. We have something different than what the world has. That we might know. Now listen to that. But we have the Spirit who is from God that. Here's the reason we have the Spirit who is from God. Why do we have the Spirit who is from God? That we might know. He wants us to know things. He wants us to know things. You know, one thing I'm really big on is driving people nuts by asking them, well, what is the purpose? What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? Well, Paul's saying here, the purpose of the Holy Spirit, this is the reason that we have the Spirit that is from God, is that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Now, if you know John and what he wrote, as he, you know, wrote down what Jesus had given to his followers, his disciples, at the Last Supper there in John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, those chapters, you'll remember what Jesus said the mission of the Holy Spirit was to lead us and guide us into all the truth, to show us things to come, that he would take of what belonged to Jesus and he would show it and reveal it to us. So what Paul's writing here goes exactly with what John said the mission of the Holy Spirit would be. His assignment, his purpose in our lives would be to reveal to us. Now let me just ask you, has it crossed your mind in the last 24 hours that the Holy Spirit who is within you is here to reveal to you? He is here to bring revelation to you. And what? That you might know, he wants to help you to know something. What? The things that have been freely given to us by God. Now I want to stop right there. He wants you to know something. He wants you to know the things that have been freely given to you by God. Now, just I wish the word things was not in that sentence, because it's not actually a word. If you look at what the original words are, the word things is not in it. But I understand he's trying, the word things can mean a lot. But when we say the word things, we immediately go to natural thing. We go to stuff. And so I want you to kind of move beyond stuff. And I want you to think about, what has God freely given us? Well, we know he's given us all. The Bible says all things. But he hasn't just given us all things, he's given us all that pertains to life and godliness, whatever it might be. But let's just, that's verse 12. Let's go back a little bit. Let's go back to verse 9. If y'all can flip back there to verse 9 for a second. I want you to see that, because this got going. Paul's writing about this revelation based on what the prophet Isaiah wrote, verse 9. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man. What? So this is what these things are that are freely given to us by God. What are they? The things which God has prepared for those who love him. So God's prepared things for you. But let's just kind of camp right here for a minute. Let's talk for a little bit. This idea that God has prepared things for you. God has prepared, let's say this. God has prepared for you. He's made preparation for you. When he called you to be his own and made you his very own child, he had already prepared for you. Much like, you know, when you find out you're having a baby, you start preparing for the baby, except we just prepare for the first, you know, few months. God prepared for our whole lives and our eternities. He prepared it all. And because we have, you know, very limited resources, we can only prepare a bit. But God prepared all for us. Now, this word prepared is an interesting word because it's actually in the Greek, it's a metaphor. And it is a metaphor for the idea or the custom of the people in the ancient world when a king was going to be traveling. You realize they didn't have the fine road system that we have now. Travel, even in biblical times, was treacherous, you know. We were in Virginia this past week, and we were in the Alexandria, right? It's adjacent to D.C., Alexandria, Virginia. And we were in the downtown right around it, and we go across this cobblestone road. Have y'all ever ridden on a cobblestone road? It's like, it's not fun. All I could think of is, thank God I'm not walking down that road in high heels. That's what was going through my mind. Because you see something like that, and you're just thinking, man, how... You know, that was an original road that wagon wheels, I guess, used to go over. Boy, that wouldn't have been a very fun journey. Well, that was a really nice road compared to what these people had. You think in the ancient world, what kind of roads they had. I mean, it might just be, you know, there's the woods and somewhere in that direction's where you're going, you know. So what would happen is if a king were going to travel and he would plan, you know, a journey to another place, a city, there were people, there was a band or a company of people who would go out before him. And their job was to cut a road for the king. And they called it preparing the road. It was the preparation. It's the same preparation here. The preparation of making the way beforehand, so that when the king came, when he's riding through, it's the smoothest ride, it's the most direct route. They would clear out any obstacles. If there were any threats, just like even now in today's time, the Secret Service will go in before the president and they will clear the area. They will take out any threats. They'll see what's, you know, they check everything. The president can't just up and go somewhere. It takes days, weeks, months sometimes for a trip just to make ready. And they know where he's going to be, when he's going to arrive, and when he gets there, there's going to be food. He doesn't just show up somewhere and there's not food. Or, you know, there's a place for him to go and be safe. You know, whatever is needed, has someone else thought of it already? And when he shows up, it's already been thought out and planned. And he just walks in and he does his thing. That's how it was for the king in his day when it was prepared before him. And that in that same way, God has prepared for you. So it's not just that he's prepared things, he's just prepared for you. Now, it's not so much so that, you know, because we like that. We like the idea that God's prepared for us. So we like it because we think that means I'm going to be living on easy street. That God wants to, he's prepared this thing for me so my life can be smooth. Just like when we read in Isaiah where it says he'll make the rough places smooth and the crooked places straight. We like that because it means we're going to live the easy life. Except that's not actually what he's prepared for us. He has made things easy and light, according to what Jesus said. But it's more that he's prepared for us divine purpose. He's sending us somewhere that it really matters, that we need to go, that we're needed, that there's a purpose for us being there. And he's prepared the way for us. Now, years ago, when I was a teenager, my mom and dad went on a trip. They didn't travel much. My dad mostly liked to just stay at home, so that's where I get it from. And so they had this great idea that they were going to take a big trip, and they were going to go to Niagara Falls. Anybody ever been to Niagara Falls? Niagara Falls is amazing. You should go there. So anyway, so they were going to go to Niagara Falls, and so they charted this course, and they drove up to Niagara Falls, and they stayed on the Canadian side, I think. Anyway, that's where the view's best. And but then my mother had an older sister who lived on Lake Michigan in Michigan, Manistee, Michigan. And so they had this great idea. They were going to drive from here to Niagara Falls. Then they were going to drive over through Canada. then into Michigan and across the state of Michigan over to Lake Michigan, and then stay for a week or some period of time with my aunt and uncle, and then they were going to return home. So it was this big road trip they were going to go in with no kids. So you can imagine, y'all just got back from a road trip with three kids. You can imagine, you can't even fathom doing this, can you? They're just sitting there going, what would that be like? Matt and I just did a road trip with no kids. It's amazing. It's amazing. So anyway, well, it was for me. I mean, Matt had to listen to what I was doing. But anyway, for me, it was great. And so they went on this trip, and they had the most glorious time. I think it's probably one of the best vacations y'all ever had, wasn't it? It was just great times. They just had the best time at Niagara Falls. And then they go over and see my aunt and uncle. And it was a long journey from Niagara Falls over to see my aunt and uncle and their family. But they had plenty of time, you know. There were no, nobody had to, you know what I mean. All the things you have to do with kids. None of that. It was just them. They could take their time, stay overnight along the way, see the sights. And so they just made a big trip out of it, gone several weeks. So they came back and they were telling how wonderful it was. And my mother has three brothers. So she had an older sister and then she had three brothers. Well, one of her brothers said, I'm going to take that trip. I want to do that. So he wasn't able to. His kids were still younger. But some years later, my uncle and aunt decided they were going to go on this trip. Same trip. My dad got all excited. So my dad gets all the maps, and they write out all these things that they did because, you know, they're going to go to Niagara Falls and take this same trip. So my dad's so excited, he writes everything down. He gets, I don't know if it was an atlas or the maps, whatever it was. But, you know, this is back before. Most of y'all know what life was like before we had it all on our phone. I'm looking around. Wesley, once upon a time, your phone didn't tell you which direction to go. You actually had to look at a map. Y'all remember that. So that's what was going on. And so there they are, and they have the maps and all that. And my uncle and aunt are so excited, and they go on this trip, and they're gone for several weeks and all, and come back. Well, then the next family holiday, we're all together, and we go in, and my mom and dad can't wait to hear about this trip, you know, that they had, and they had this big time. So my uncle just tells the story. And so they'd gone to Niagara Falls. And then they're taking the trip from Niagara Falls over to Manistee, Michigan. And on the way, you go through every little town from Niagara Falls to Manistee, and there's a whole bunch of them. So it's like, you know, driving, y'all know little towns around here. You go, if you go up Highway 25 in Carolina, and you go up through Trenton, and then continue on 25, you'll go to Edgefield, and you have to go around the town square to get through. This is the way they were driving all the way across there. And they were like, my goodness, this is a lot. What did we get ourselves into driving this way? So they're driving along. They've been driving for hours and hours, you know. Okay, 35 miles an hour, 25 miles an hour around the town square. Okay, stop, school bus stop. Okay, here comes a train. Okay, and then they go, okay, all right. Oh, we can make it to 55 just in time. Oh, no, we got a 45 speed zone. 30. Oh, more kids getting out of school. You know, okay, so it's like this, their whole journey. Well, somewhere when they get really close to Manistee, they notice, I think my aunt mentions to my uncle, they notice that along the way there had been these signs that say I-65. But they hadn't noticed them because on their map there was no I-65. And along the way they were following what my mom and dad had told them. Well, they get there and they're talking to my aunt and uncle, you know, that are in Michigan. And they said, it took us, you know, like 12, I don't remember. It was a really long time to get there, and we're exhausted and all that. They're going, that trip doesn't take that long. What in the world were y'all doing? Which way'd you go? So my uncle pulls out the map, and he said, well, we went just this way here, the way Ralph told us. And he shows them like that. And my uncle says, why didn't you take the interstate? He said, the interstate? He said, yeah. And he told him the roads, because Canada has interstate across until it hooks into 60. And then, why didn't you take the interstate? And they look at the map. There's no interstate on the map. The map was made before the interstate. You understand? So all this way, they were 2 miles from an interstate. And they're going around, you know, the town square. stop it for the railroad track. You know, on an interstate, they don't have traffic lights, and they don't have school bus stops, and they don't have train tracks. It's just all free, you know. So their trip could have been like, you know, a whole lot shorter, but they never knew it was there. Now, in a lot of ways, that's the story of most Christians. We spend all our time on these things, and really, what we do is we go to God and go, can't you help the train move faster? Can't you give me a green light? Can't you get this tractor off the road that I've been following the last 3 miles? It, you know, 12 miles an hour. And we spend our life and expend all of our spiritual energy on those things. And the whole time, he's prepared something for us where the traffic light wouldn't even be. The train wouldn't even be. The guy on the tractor wouldn't even be. But we've never known it. It was hidden. It existed, but we had no knowledge of it. That's the sad story of a lot of believers. That God's got a life, something he's prepared for us, but it never entered my mind. I didn't see it. I hadn't heard about it. But he has revealed them to us by his Spirit. I think we spend a whole lot of time on things that we should never have to deal with if we would spend the time to receive revelation from the Spirit. But y'all, I don't have time. You don't have time. I don't have time to hear from God. I'm busy. And you don't have time to receive revelation because, come on now, I got a life, Susie. I know you ain't got no life, but I got a life. But see, here's the thing. We fill our lives with things, and then what we end up with is all the muck of this low life that we live because we haven't received the revelation of what he's prepared for us. So we're just living in a place of frustration. If you're frustrated, imagine how frustrated God could be. He's God. I don't think he's frustrated. But if he could be, imagine how frustrated he would be seeing you go through. Here you go around the town square. Oh, somebody's backing out. I got to sit here while they back out. And you could be flying down the road on the interstate about his purpose, living for him. Do you understand? That's the sad trap. But we spend all of our, exert all of our energy and our, and you know, in the things we pray. And when we pray, we're not praying to receive revelation. We're praying about all the stuff. God, you got to help me with this. You got to help me with that. You got to, at some point, you just have to decide, I'm getting off this road and I'm getting on his road. And I'm going to walk in what he's prepared for me. But I'm going to tell you, it takes some effort. It's freely given to us. We don't earn it. But I'm going to tell you, it does take effort. It takes spiritual effort. It takes some natural effort. It does. I'm going to tell you, prayer takes some effort. You know, the week before Easter, we had daily prayer here. It took effort to come. To come over here and pray. And it's not always exciting to pray. I can tell you, it's not like we have a, you know, Holy Ghost, you know, dance going on. You know, it's like quiet. And sometimes, you know, like I think half the people are sleeping and, you know, and other things. But I'm going to tell you, if we can learn if we would just recognize the benefit in spending some time listening to him. I just want to keep reading here because somehow or another it got to be 8:07 and I've hardly begun to talk. It's because it gave me all that other stuff at the beginning. But let's just go on and keep reading. In fact, let's just switch over to the message in verse 13, Sharon, if we can, if you can do that. Maybe I should do it if I'm asking you to do it. I don't have any notes. I'm just reading out of the Bible, so that's why it's going like this. Okay, verse 13. It says, we don't have to rely on the world's guesses and opinions. We didn't learn this by reading books or going to school. We learned it from God, who taught us person to person through Jesus. You know, this is Paul writing this, but boy, when I read those words in the message, that really hit home with me. We learned it from God. We learned it from God. Oh, how I long for you to learn from God. I tell you, it's wonderful that we are able to teach you and that there's so much really good teaching material out and available. But there is something about just learning from God. That you learn from Him. And I can help you out and encourage you and all, but there's something about God teaching you something. And I don't know if you experienced that or not, but I just have to tell you, a common theme of my life is that there's always something inside going on that God's teaching me about. You know, if we could just sat down to talk, I could just tell you, there are several strong things right now that God's just the end of the year, there was this thing, and it's just something I'm learning about. For all of us, it was about love. That thing he spoke to me when he said there's only one law, he's still teaching me about that. I'm just learning so much about it. I just see it everywhere I go. There's something about him teaching you. There's something about that. Nate and I were talking not long ago, and we were talking about how when God speaks something to you, when he reveals something to you, how it changes everything. And he was telling me the situation where we were just reminiscing about a lot of things in our lives where God had just stepped in and spoke to us about something. And he related how when he was dealing with the situation with his back, that he'd had all these things happen. People had prayed for him. He'd been in services. People had ministered to him. People had prophesied to him. He said, but God spoke to him. And the day, the moment God spoke to him, it just changed everything. That settled it for him. That was the thing. But you know, that doesn't always happen like the first moment of the first day. It's something that you search for. And that's even, I didn't read this in the New King James. That was where I was reading along. It talks about the searching. That the Spirit of God even searches. There's a searching that goes on. And you're searching for the things of God. It isn't just all sitting right there at the very tip top where you just skim it off. You search, you dig down into it. You dig down into the Word, and you dig down by the Spirit. You dig down in prayer. You dig down and you meditate and you roll things over and you meditate and you pray and you seek God and you seek His will and you seek revelation, and it's a turning and you're looking for something. Now, my mom and I have a saying in our house. We say, oh, well, he looks like a man. And sometimes we say even to our daughters, oh, well, you look like a man. What we mean by that has nothing to do with how people look. It's like when somebody wants to know where something is and you say, okay, well, it's in the freezer. And they say, well, no, it's not. And so I look at them and say, oh, yeah, you look like a man. Because then I go and I open the freezer and I pull it out. You know what I'm talking about. Because no offense to men, but you look like a man. Men open the freezer, no offense, Matt, but Matt will just open the freezer, and if it doesn't hit him when he opens it, I can't find it. I'm just telling you, it's just how it is. It's just like, I can find anything, you know? I mean, I know where stuff is, but like, oh yeah, Mom, Susie. I'm going to tell you, you can't look like a man and find revelation from God. You're going to have to dig down. You're going to have to look. You might have to look on the bottom shelf, in the back, where I hid it. He said these things are hidden, did he not? So if something's hidden, you got to look for it. You got to dig in. You got to look. But we either don't really believe it, or we're too lazy, or we, you know, don't, I don't know what the problem, maybe we just don't even consider it. But I'm just exhorting you tonight, guys. God has for you specifically, He has prepared a way for you, your life, your design, your call, you, your purpose, everything that He had in mind when He made you and then called you His own. But you got to look for it. And you got to, inside of you, start and determine to search for it. Or you can just live your life going around the square. God, can you help this light turn green? And honestly, I'm just going to be really honest. In helping people and coaching people, pastoring people, whatever it is, mentoring people, discipling people, whatever it is, there are times I've been dealing, that I deal with people, and they're like wanting me to pray with them for the train to speed up. And the whole time they're telling me, this is the thing. And the whole time I'm just saying to them, look, there's a whole nother life. All of this, you need to remove yourself from that. There's a whole nother life. We'll be here for eternity trying to get the train to move. That's, the train isn't the problem. The problem is you're on the wrong road. That's the problem. He reveals them to us by His Spirit. And you know the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. He's the one who confirms to you that you're God's child. He's the one that brings you peace. You remember peace, right? He's the one that brings you peace. You know Him. You know. You know when He's not speaking to you. You know when he's not, you know, it seems like I haven't heard from Him. But just keep listening. He's not keeping it back from you to punish you. And He knows how to speak to you. He knows Rachel. He knows how she learns. He knows how he made you. He knows. He knows how to speak to you. Frank, every one of us, He knows how to speak to us. He can get Himself over to you. He may speak to you a little different than the way He speaks to me. But I'm going to tell you, I've learned to listen, not just to hear about one thing. It's not so much I need to hear about one thing. I need to know the way He's prepared for me. And that might take a while. Have y'all ever using your Google Maps or your, you know, or your map app, and it gives you the voice directions? Anybody ever do that on the phone? Have you ever like gotten off track because you decided to stop, or you made a wrong turn, or you couldn't get over for that exit or whatever? And so it immediately starts rerouting you, you know, which becomes very annoying if you on purpose did the turn. And it starts almost yelling at you, turn around, go, you know, go 80 feet and make it a U-turn and take the next safe U-turn. You know, it's just like, I think God is doing that on the inside a lot. And we, because we don't recognize it's Him, we think our lives, you know, we have a lot of stress in our lives and we have a lot of anxiety going on. And it could be that all of that is, there is a warning going off within us, but we're just trying to quiet everything down. We're just out of sync, out of kilter, because we're off track, and we don't, we're just like, turn the TV up louder, please. Something to just numb all of this. Instead of recognizing, I need some quiet. I need some time in His presence. I need some praying. And not just one day or one service. Some extended time. Some day after day after day time. In His presence. Letting the Spirit Himself reveal Himself, reveal His plan and His way to us. Now, the reason I shared this tonight is because two of the last three Sunday services, not Easter, but the other two, at some point in the service, I was up here talking, and I recognized it, you know, since Sunday. The last two of the last three services, I've had some kind of a word for the congregation or people that had that, and I quoted this very passage. And it made me think at the end of the service on Sunday, I ministered to a young man. And then I said, that word isn't just for him. It's for many people here. That God has something to show you. And when I say something, I don't mean like he wants to. I mean, he's got like an unveiling for life. He's got like a path, something he's prepared. He's got a way to go. He wants to show you. And you need to devote yourself to getting his communication, receiving what he has to say, hearing from him. Because he's got something for you. And I'm going to tell you, for all of us here tonight, God, I think we would all agree, God's got good for us. I don't think any of us have any problem with that. But the question is, if we know God's got good for us, then why is what's going on? Well, maybe I don't have enough faith for it. I don't know that it's that you don't have enough faith for it. I think it might be that we need to hear his voice. We need to see. We need to hear. We need to know. Because oftentimes we just like, God's got something good for me and I want, so God give me what I want. And then that's our complete interaction with God. Oh, you got good for me. Well, this is what I want. Give me that. That's never, if we read the Bible that way, we are flat out misinterpreting the Bible. Because that's not the Bible. The Bible is, I've got good for you. Come to me and let me show you what I have for you. And it's good. He's not, you know, a vending machine. He's a loving father. And so often we just want that. We just give me that. That's what I want. Well, that is so low in comparison to what he's got for you. Well, I got more to say, but we'll stop it right there. Let's pray. Why don't y'all stand? We'll pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight for revelation and insight. And Father, my prayer right now is just that you would teach every one of us how to receive revelation in a greater way, how to receive more insight, for our eyes to see and our ears to hear, for it to enter into our hearts what you have prepared for us. Tutor us in that. Bring us along in that. That's vital, that we know what you have for us and that we see how to walk it out. Father, I pray this in the name of Jesus. I ask you to do it. I ask you to bring this forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night.